thing, just different wheels. KED5FTU, Grady. Nope.
If you go to the GM website, which is gmarc.org, you can find, I think it's last spring sometime, we go into the newsletters and look in the spring of 2009 for a newsletter that has a lot of a really good article about using the software remote receivers to help out doing nets just like we're doing today. So now I'm getting feedback that better on KDFEF.com. So there's another one for you. That's a very popular one, that K3FEF.com. So, all right, well, at the bottom of the list here, I'm going to open up my receiver so I can hear again, and we'll take another call for check-ins. Check-ins, check-ins, please come now.
KDET in there, Scott, with his QRP rig. Back to you, Scott. That's Mike in Colbert, Rochester.
All right, thanks, Roy. KDET, we're hearing you. KDET with your QRP rig. Come on back.
I'm using the same antenna that I use on my 7300, and I just wanted to see if I could get back in on the net. So, everyone, have a great day. Back to Mexico. This is KATET. Be safe.
Okay, real good, Mike. 4 watts, boy. That you're really doing okay with 4 watts all the way down to Warrenton, Virginia. All right, we got anybody else? Any other late check-ins? Please call W1BIC. Any relays? Any relays? Is there any further business for the net? Well, I got some heavy breathing. Anybody else? Okay, having no further business, we'll close the net at this time. This net is composed of General Motors employees, retirees, and visitors. We meet each day, Monday through Saturday, on or about this frequency. Thank you for your participation, and please return often. This is W1BIC, now closing the net, 73, and good afternoon, everyone. Have a great day, and be safe.
have, Scott, 7-3.
Copy you on 5 watch, KCHHMJ. Still copying you in Warrenton, Virginia, even on 2 watts. All right, Richard, I'll send you a link to that registration process. W1BIC.
On my left eye, so that'll be probably won't be doing much there either. I just gonna have to find somebody to take me down there for those days because Barb can't take Angela. We were planning on Angela going with us and her taking me down, but with Angela's last stroke here, that's not gonna happen now. Over.
I doctor's appointment back on
ABQ and R. Who's the other one? Yeah, you recheck on me. All right, W0, Golf Hotel, you are up. Stand by ABQ.
W0GH. The Doodle Hoppers and the Central Spiders. It's 75
KC5AVQ, you are up. Over. So, if you'd like to check us out, you...
Yes.
Thank you from Lima Yankee 5 Alpha.
KK4HDY wishing you the best, 73s, and we'll talk again. We're going to be QRT.
W7BNL for the procedures group.
K0QBZ, Dave, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing okay. How are you doing there?
Not bad. Cool here and been missing all day. Not a real pleasant day. Still 50 degrees out there, but it's better than 30 degrees, I'll tell you that.
Well, I got 60 degrees out here in Montana right now, but yeah, the wind's blowing, of course.
Yeah, I bet it is. Yeah, we're supposed to have that wind and all that stuff, but I don't know. They talk like we're supposed to have hail and all kinds of bad stuff late this afternoon, but I just doubt very much with it being this cool that we're going to have a lot of hail. Might be some wind, but I just doubt there's any hail. There's a lot of upper atmosphere stuff to tell.
Okay, well, Dave was on 305, and I heard he's there. You might pick him up, and also, Alan's been in here, okay?
Okay, well, if he's still in here, I'm going up for a minute. I'm going to keep
Thanks. Alaska, it says again, drop the water noise.
Still 100% copy from you. You've had a 5-5, a 5-6, 55-56 into the island of Hawaii, Honolulu, Ontario, Yokohama, Echo Uniform 009. We're 20 miles off the north coast of Scotland, Barry, and the name is Jeff, Golf Echo Oscar, Florida, Florida. Kilo 6 for Zulu Alpha, jump Mexico 8, Ocean, Florida, Queen, over.
Yeah, beautiful copy, Jeff, GM8OFQ, K6ZA. Yeah, you held me up nicely. You took a fade a little bit, then came back up. You actually took the next 9, so ships are a little bit unstable. I heard some nice signals from Europe, and I thought I would call out in that direction. But to no avail at the time. I guess everybody was kind of where they wanted to be. Although your voice sounds familiar, I'm not sure why. That could be we've made it work, and I just didn't wind up having it in the lungs. We were in Scotland New York Ireland and Scotland, and enjoyed it very much, and wanted to get back. We kind of put that on our list of places to go back to and spend more time, but this little issue got in the way a couple of months ago, and I think you know what I'm talking about there. Jeff, I won't hold it with you because I think maybe the band is starting to fade on the longer haul. So thank you very much for giving me a call from the island of Hawaii. I don't think I've worked that island. I've worked the Isle of Man and several other islands around, but I don't think I've worked you there in Hawaii. So back to you there, Jeff. GM8OFQ, K6ZA, good.
Yes, okay, Barry, very good. Yep, 100% copy, but the band is definitely turning now. QSB almost dropped you into the noise at about a 5-2-5 there, Barry. So a good time to tie it up. And fine on your visit over to Scotland. Yes, we've been up here in the Orkney Islands for about 3 years now. Very quiet, very peaceful. We don't have any cases of coronavirus on this little island that we're living on here. So it's all going pretty well up here on the north coast of Scotland, up Barry. Just for information, we're running here at 23 by aircraft, 400 watts, and 10 elements at 65 feet. Anyway, Barry, listen, I won't hold it. I'll let you get off there. Thanks very much for calling in, and hopefully we'll catch up with you when conditions are better. So this is all the best to you and your family over there in Walnut Creek, east of San Francisco. Kilo 6 of Zulu Alpha, Golf Mike 8, Oscar, Florida, Quebec. 73, Barry, bye-bye.
Okay, Jeff, 73, and thanks very much for calling. I appreciate it. And we've got you in the log, so we'll look for you again, hopefully sooner than later. GM8OFQ, K6ZA, cheers.
Thanks a lot, 73, Barry, bye-bye.
Hey, bye-bye.
Also, 979 from New Hampshire. We have sunset right now, and there was windy, and only plus 2 degrees Celsius right now, John, right?
What's your...
Now, that 991 has numbers, like all the other Yaesus, for audio, does it not? What number are you on? Yeah, that's too high. Yeah, most Yaesus need to be mic gain about 30. And so move into the microphone, in my opinion. Move into the microphone a little bit and cut your audio, cut your number back a little bit. How's Rob doing with his roof there? Better than yours. Yours is pinched. I have no idea. Oh, no wonder. Oh, D-104s don't work good on these modern radios. I mean, it's clear and everything, but ooh, it's pinched. Well, you can be a friend there, right? stay sealed. Well, I'm usually monitoring it most. If I'm in the house, I got 38-38 on all afternoon, so I'm always listening. 39-10 in the morning for a while, and then noontime I switch over to 38-38. So typically, if I'm in the house, I've got the radio on to that frequency.
Sugar 5-1, David, X-ray. Mike Victor 1, Charlie Queen Radio. Thank you very much. 57 in Slovenia, Roger. Victor Messler, yes. Are you Charlie Queen Victoria? Roger, Charlie Queen Bravo, QSL. Thanks, see you soon. Enjoy operating the radio. Bye bye, 73. Into Slovenia, Roger. Okay, nice. 73, it's all the best from Slovenia. Sugar 51, David, X-ray. Delta Kilo 4. Kilo 4, Hotel Tango Romeo, USL. Thank you very much. 5x9 into Slovenia. Janis is the name, okay. Nice to meet you, Sugar 51, David X-ray. Papa Tango Sierra, full call. Roger, Steve, great, 559 over here in Slovenia, too, sounding great. M6, Papa Tango Sierra, catch you next time, bye-bye. Thank you, Sugar 51, David X-ray. Quebec, last letter. Quebec, last letter, yep. Okay, India Queen, your call sign again. Mike 7, India Delta Mike, I will not work you. You're calling when I hunt other station, when I call other station. Stateside, come again with India Quebec. November 3, Sierra India Queen. Thank you, David. You are 5x9 with me. 59, but on S meter lower, over. Okay, David. Hoping for better conditions later on. 73 to New Jersey. Bye bye. Thanks, Sugar 51, David. Golf Tango / Mobile. Thank you very much. 5x9 with me. Yanez, okay? Okay. That's great. Signal is strong and, well, enjoy the mobiling around. Take care. Bye-bye. 73K3 Radio Sugar Japan. Thanks a lot. 5x9, Bob. Yanez is the handle, okay? Maryland, Bob, and glad to have you. 73, bye-bye. Stateside, come again. Sugar 51, David X-ray, North America. You are that, Sierra 51, David X-ray. Mike 1, Alpha, Oscar Bravo, thank you. 5x9, Yanez, okay. 73, Rich. Your son, bye-bye. You are that, Sierra 51, David X-ray.
Golf Whiskey 7, Golf Whiskey Tango,
thank you. 5x9, Brian, into Slovenia, Yanez, okay. Okay, Graham, Golf Whiskey 7, Golf Whiskey Tango, is that correct? Okay. Okay, my mistake. Graham, I apologize for mistake. Thank you, Graham. Thanks for the QSL. Be good, stay healthy. 7-3.
Golf
4, Sierra Golf 3, thank you, Peter. 5x9, okay. Yeah, 73, see you soon. Sugar 51, David X-ray.
Victor Oscar 1, Victor X-ray 7.
Delta Golf 3 Alpha, Whiskey Echo. Thank you very much. 5x9, Yanez, okay.
Victor Oscar 1, Victor X-ray Charlie.
CF4 Sherpa Radio, beam, thank you. 59, good signal from Berlin. 7-3, all the best, and see you soon. Will do, thank you. Sugar 5-1, David X-ray.
Victor
X-ray. Victor X-ray.
You bet, 7-3.
Bye-bye, Silver 5-1, David Jackson. Hey, Brimi, thank you for a good report. Echo Alpha 1 off to Lima. Good signal there from Spain. Glad to have you in the log. 73, and you are 5-9 with me, over. Good luck, Sugar 5-1, David X-ray. Charlie Echo. Charlie Echo, hello to you, Marvin, 5-9, okay.
Echo Yeah, Victor Echo 9, Echo Kilo. Good afternoon. You're 5 and 7, 59. Over.
That's it, special call there for the 75th anniversary. George, it's Papa Echo Alpha Charlie Echo. And the operator is Simon here in Northern Ireland, okay? No problem at all, Eddie. I do recognize your call. I've watched you with a home call. But of course, I'm on a different login program, so can't really pull up the names on this one here, Eddie. Here, thanks for the call. Keep well. Maybe we'll hear you around some other bands there. Victor Echo 9 Echo Kilo, TV 75 apiece. Thank you. Mike 4, Victor India United. Good afternoon, good evening, you're 59. Yeah, what's your name? No problem at all there, Barry. Well, here, thanks for the call in. Keep safe, and we'll hear you might have answered 73. Best, and if you can, you can put me on the DX cluster there. We're just into the check here after our evening dinner. Hi, maybe some more North America, about 73, Golf Bravo 75 at Papa, Echo Alpha Charlie Echo, GB 75 at Peace, CC. Okay, GB 75 Peace, Golf Bravo 75 at Peace, CC. Again, Kilo. No, not getting you sorry at the minute. 75 feet, Golf Bravo 75, Papa Echo Alpha, Charlie Echo, CT.
you never know. These old ones, you know. Oh, man. Everything we got is 50 years old. But anyway, I'll turn it back down to Jack and let him in. KG5GC, go ahead, Jack.
Yeah. 5x9, Chavez is my name, roger. Fine, George, everything fine. Running 1.5 kW, my antenna, 5 element, Yagi. 7-3, make out TV. Good, bye-bye, New Jersey.
Thanks a lot for a good report and you sounding
working just fine over here.
Thanks for the contact. 73 to Luxembourg, Beirut, stay healthy, okay?
Bye-bye, good luck, my pleasure.
Sugar 51,
David, thanks.
one, David, X-ray.
Standing by.
6-2, Sierra 5-1, Delta X-ray.
Sierra 5-1, Delta X-ray. Sierra 5-1, Denmark X-ray.
Standing by.
And seven, go ahead.
On the ground, John. That's what I thought I was going to try to do maybe the next couple of days here, John. And I got the choke made up there for the vertical, and I got to put that in line there and see what it's, how it sounds there, John, okay?
Yeah, when you put radials down, grass grows right over it, and this is a perfect time before the grass is really in full bloom, as I'll call it, as it grows. But you use landscaper staples. They're about 4 inches long or 6 inches long, but you just tap them once and they go all the way into the ground and hold the radial down. You just take landscape staples and go about every 6 feet or 5 feet, whatever, and pull the wire tight and tap it down. Go down the wire about 6 feet and do another one. And they just, you know, one or two taps, it's all the way in. So it's not a lot of work. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay, I'll give that a shot and try that. Yeah, okay, I'll do that. And, I got rid of that the piece of stubs I had. That's why the SWR was so low, eh, also, John. The 33 feet 75 ohm coax, right? That's what made the SWR low, like 1-to-1, right? All over the place, right? I took that out and just put a piece of 50 ohms, and then to the radial that I did have down, right? And the SWR was like about 2-to-1. So now it's now time to play with the radials there, right, John? Over.
Yep. Get the radials in and see how it works. Your impedance at the point where the coax connects on a vertical many times is relatively low, about 30 ohms, sometimes lower. And so with 50 ohm coax, it makes sense that it is about 2-to-1.
Yeah, so it's a matter now just getting it down a bit with the radials. I got to see how many I can get in, you know. It's the thing is that I've got this mounted on the post, you know, on a 6x6 post on the fence, right? And I can only put two or three in the backyard, and I can't, and I might have to go under the fence if I want to put them in the front lawn, but in the front lawn there's too many trees, you know, so I don't know. I guess as long as it picks up some resistance on the ground, right, the whatever I would imagine, right, or having that length of wire out, but I can't put it all the way around. No way I can do that, but anyways, we'll try, you know, we'll see, we'll put a few down and see what happens, and I'll bring the meter out there, and do the testing right at the feed point, right, and see what it is there, and then there's probably, I got about 100 feet of 50 ohm coax, polymer, is it 400 or 213? It's that military spec, I think 213, right to the shack here, John, so we'll give that a shot and see how that's going to work out. Okay, John, I better get out of here, and maybe we'll catch you on, I missed you last night there on 75 there with the boys there. I come in there late after you took off there because I had stuff to do there, so anyways, we might catch you tonight up that way there, and we'll see how that goes. 73s, and enjoy that meal, okay, and have a side order for me, okay, John? K2YN, VA3ACO. 73s, have a great one.
Okay, we'll see, Angelo. You take care, and have a good evening there. We're in the middle of the week, so... anyway, I'm in retirement. I don't remember what day it is. So, 73s. Nice talking with you, Angelo. Pass on, if I don't get down to 3636, maybe you will. You pass on a hello to the boys. VA3ACO. This is K2Y, and so long, Angelo.
Okay, so long. I'll do that. I'll pass that along. 73s.
Anyway. Anyway, 1-2. So I'm just testing. 1-2-3. Messing around. Okay, I think I hear Zach out there. I knew that would blow your mind. Hello, Joe. Yeah, it was uncalled for, I admit it.
Nah, I just heard you. I was getting out of the shack and heard you make your last transmission and didn't follow it. So, figured maybe you just wrapped up there. I've been listening on and off here for the last hour. KK6BS, back in the operating position and running normal power.
Yeah, well, you're 15 over at least, and probably heading for 20 more. We always have a good connection.
This band, though, I mean, and you mentioned this the other day, I'm seeing you about the same on the vertical and dipole.
Yeah, it is screwy, because now you're down to 5 over. And it does that in a blink and then sends you back. So, who knows what's up. This is just, I think of, you know, if you were Greek or Roman from the old days, you'd think there's some kind of god up there, like strings connected to the ionosphere. RS meters coincide. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. Oh, that's my Martha. Ever since she was put on house arrest for crimes against the Wall Street there or whatever, insider trading. I don't know. But I liked her more when she was a criminal.
Well, you know, and look, of all people, look.
They know that's going to work. I've got to see their chemistry to believe that. Snoop Doggy. Snoop Dogg. And Martha Stewart. I mean, wow, that's sort of like Chuck Berry and what other band? ELP, maybe, you know. And maybe that isn't dramatic enough. Several songs. If I scratch my memories, I'll pull them out. But, I'm going to play them on my Alexa. I don't have that in my collection. Goofy, you know, and the label made him do that. I think that there's still a bit of garage band in him. That. actually enjoyed that song. Oh,
that's right.
That's right. I'll be darned.
So he got a couple hits out there.
And then what do they do? What do most of these people do? There are a lot of bands that were very good that go about 5 years.
Not like the Stones or
the Who, you know, who still actually kind of function. But they go for 5 or 6 years and then they disappear.
And is it that they buy in Montana and just sort of ride horses or what?
They must have as many stories as there were people that fit that description. Go ahead.
Something going here, you know.
Oh my goodness. So you're on the Pro 3, right? And I think you sound pretty good, but you're a little weaker right now. I'm sure I am to you too. It's just that time of day.
I sold another item. I sold my dual reverb. So both the in fact, it's gone. I looked on the floor to get the name. The Virtualizer Pro is gone. The Dual Reverb is gone. All that junk I played with is gone. I don't know. That's spooky. I don't know how does one connect to the other?
I will admit, as it went on, I started to wonder in my mind, like, how close might this be to them getting a perfect double? And then the further it went on, I kept thinking, like, oh no, there's no way. There's no way they're going to end it exactly the same millisecond. And yet they did.
Yeah.
They did. There's
Bobby Gates.
Yeah, there he is.
Yes, I did. I got to go out to my garage in a little while and work on that, but I'm piecing my day here. I sent her an email. I have to look and see. Type it in, boom. You know right then and there.
Yeah,
Boy, that's trouble. What, you going to change your call sign there, Blue?
One of the males was striking. He had a black hat on, and underneath his chin was a red, bright red bib that was beautiful. He was magnificent, and he's one of the grosbeaks. But they're not native to here. We only see them during migration time. I had a family of red Tangiers. The males are smaller than a cardinal, but they're brilliant red with black wings, and they're just beautiful, and they showed up, but they didn't stick around but a couple of days, and they're gone again, so I guess they were either going south or going north. I'm not sure which direction they're going, but during migration times, it can get real interesting. K4QZ.
Yeah, now what do those birds eat now? Just normal
bird seed,
or have they got a special diet, Julie?
Well, it beats the fire out of me. I do not know. I just know I work on the peanut butter, and I got a lot of stuff that comes in to get that, and I don't buy the seeds. Now, I want to tell you about my brother. Now, he's 79, but I got him into this bird mess about maybe 5 years ago. And he built, he's pretty handy with wood, so he built himself some feeders and things. And the squirrels destroyed that real fast. All that work that he did, the fret work that he did with his scroll saw, was really pretty, and the squirrels destroyed that. So he called me the other day, and he was all excited. He said, well, he said, this is it. I found me a new bird feeder. And he said, and it's squirrel proof. And he said that it had a screw on top on it. Now, I can't visualize what this thing actually looks like, but the top of it screwed on. And he said the squirrels is mad as a hornet because they couldn't figure out what to do with it. But he has to bring in his bird feeders at night, Cliff, because of the bears. He lives where there's a whole bunch of bears, and they will down anything he leaves out. Over.
Oh, my God. K4QVW9KK. Oh, my goodness sakes. Now, that's an oddball. That's an odd deal there. My God. They actually turned on the feeder and stuff he put up. Oh, my God. Oh, that's terrible. That is terrible.
Well, you know, I tell you, Julie, I'm gonna try that peanut butter one more time. You know what? I told you the last time I talked to you, nobody was checking it out.
Well, something was because a couple of days after the last time I talked to you, I went out there and that peanut butter was gone.
So something got to it.
I'll have to check that out again. And my suet cages are going empty after about 4 days. Have these birds, I don't know what the hell you call them, kind of speckled blackbirds, and they got real long beaks, and they just, they're always in that suet. They're the ones that take the most suet. There are some other birds, of course, that do eat a little bit. Well, boy, these speckled birds with long beaks, they're constantly on that suet cake. So it doesn't take long and it's gone. About 3 days and that suet cake is gone. Luckily, I bought two boxes of them. So I got a total of, I think I got a total of 26.
Well, that's good. I'm glad that you have that. Well, I wanted to ask you, your blackbirds are speckled. Do they have a short tail or a long tail?
Actually, it's a short tail.
They're probably starlings. And they're a shiny blackbird, and they're speckled looking a little bit. And they have a short tail, and they're starlings. And they usually come in, they travel in a gang. Over.
Yep, they do. They travel in a gang normally, yeah. Every once in a while there's one of them, but yeah, they're usually in a group. So that must be what they are. They're starlings, man. They'll come in there and they'll just, that's what they like the most is the suet. They will eat the food, but you'll see them most of the time eating that suet cake.
Yep, well, starlings they are not exactly a nice bird, and they create a lot of problems at airports because the jet engines will suck them in, and then it breaks the fins off on the inside of the jet, and it can create a lot of problems. So they tend to, if they start having any starlings hanging around airports, boy, they'll fix them. They are native to England. And I'd like to shoot the lady that brought them over here, because I'm going to tell you, they are terrible. They are the ones who destroyed all the nesting habitat for the eastern bluebirds. We have those eastern bluebirds that are so pretty. In the past, I have built bluebird just for them so that they could get something. But see, when Christopher Columbus was here, and any fence post that was planted anywhere that, you know, sometimes posts will have a raggedy top on it where the elements have started rotting the post a little bit on the top side. And so the original bluebirds that were here back in those days, Boy, that's where they built their nest in, was one of those louvers, one of those old fence posts. Well, the starlings show up, and you can forget it. They will take over any nesting site. So if you don't build a birdhouse just for the bluebirds, they won't have a place to be. And I've had lots and lots of them here. One bluebird house, I kept track of it. They had four batches of babies in one summer. So if they have a nesting site, I had it on the garden fence, which I'll come me to know that. I kept raking the nest out after they would kick the babies out, and they would start rebuilding just as soon as I kicked the nest out. So I do know that they will have multiple batches if they will have a nesting site. But the starlings, now they're vicious, and they took all of the good spots from the bluebirds. K4QV.
I'll be darned. K4QV, W9KK. Well, you know, I remember you were talking about bluebirds, and I don't think I've seen bluebirds here. I might be wrong. We got some wild canaries. We got a few wild canaries that show up. And then there's this one bird, Julie. It's a black bird, but he's got white and red on him. And I don't know what he looks like, American flag in a way, you know. He's got red, white, and blue on him, it looks like. And he's a weird-looking bird. They're here now, right now, too. They're here in this area. And, of course, we got little woodpeckers. They also like the suet. Woodpeckers like suet, too. They're on that suet cake quite a bit. So it don't take long, you know, with normal birds and the starlings and also the woodpeckers. It don't take too long, and them suet cakes are done, I tell you. So anyway, interesting, very interesting. But I'll have to get back to putting that peanut butter on there and see what kind of birds I can attract. Because they took that off there when I didn't even know it. I didn't see them do it. So I have no idea what type of bird it was that got that peanut butter. But it was just a couple days after I had talked to you about that. And I had told you that nothing was going after it. So anyway, something got on it and started eating it. And when I checked it, it was gone. It was completely gone. There wasn't any trace of that peanut butter left. So I'll have to look this time and try to monitor the feeder more often, to see what type of bird is actually taking that. K4QV, W9KK.
Well, I can appreciate that, Cliff. I can tell you, I have a couple of pet squirrels around here that I haven't shot them. They're real lucky. But they will lick every bit of the peanut butter off of anything. They really like the peanut butter. But so does the other birds. Now, the birds is what I really like to feed, not the squirrels. But I have been known in the middle of the wintertime when they just can't get anything. I feel so sorry for the birds. I really do. And I don't feed them in the summertime. But although they still come back every now and then, looking around to see if there's anything extra they can get. But I'm still feeding because it's been so cold here. There's been no bugs out. There's nothing flying in the air, no bugs at all. And so without any bugs, then you won't have any little worms floating around either. So, but I have lots and lots of woodpeckers. They really love the peanut butter. That and the nuthatches, and there's another little tiny bird that's called a black-capped chickadee. The tiniest little bird you've ever seen, and they really love the peanut butter. So I keep running this one squirrel off. If I catch him out there, he's going to catch me at the wrong time, I tell you. K4QV.
Yeah, well, I tell you,
They usually can adapt to anything. If they want it bad enough, they will get it. I'm a firm believer. I tell you, I've been battling squirrels for years. And they've always beat me. Always beat me one way or the other. Now, my son had a feeder. And it was kind of funny to watch them. But it was, what it was, it wasn't really a feeder, okay? It was just something to drive the squirrels crazy. And what it was a round piece of board, and it was mounted on a pole. And on one of the pegs of the board, there was a couple pegs. And one of the pegs of the board had a little spot for a squirrel to set. And what they did, they take this piece of corn. You know, they take a corn cob that had corn on and stick it on this nail. And when the squirrel went up to get the corn, this board would turn, you know, because of the weight of the squirrel. And it would knock the squirrel right off the doggone thing. And I tell you what, it was the cutest thing. Now, my son had that over in his yard, but you can kind of visualize that. Go ahead.
Oh, I sure can. That's a good idea. And it was suspended maybe with a piece of rope or something in the middle. Is that right?
Well, it was a pole, like I said. What it was, actually, Julie, if you can picture this, it was a round board. You know, it was like a piece of plywood that somebody had cut a circle around, you know. And it was probably about, maybe 2 foot in circumference. About 2 foot all the way around with this board, okay? And it was cut in a circle. And what they did, they had it mounted to a pole, had a bolt going through this pipe, and also the board, and a nut on the back of it. And like I said, they had this little piece of wood, and on that wood was a spike nail that you could take the corn cob and just stick it right on there. It was so funny, man. I didn't, because he'd go up there to get that, and when he got up there to eat that sucker, it just go right around and knock him right off of it. I didn't hurt him, he fell off, you know. But it was, I tell you, you watch that, and he would just drive you crazy and you'd laugh all day long.
Well, I can visualize that really good. That is a really good idea. Well, you got to do something. The squirrels are vicious now, and they want everything. My brother has a thing that he sticks those corn cobs on with. He buys them also. He's heavy into this bird thing now, and so it's pretty cool. I saw something the other day. Did I tell you about the falcon?
I don't think so.
Well, I don't know which bird that he got, but the falcons are like eagles. They have a vision that is just fantastic. And what they do is they dive bomb on my back porch sometimes where I have the peanut butter on. And I saw him out in the yard. Falcons have got this funny headdress on. Sometime if you can look that up, a picture of a falcon. It's interesting to see them. They're a good-sized bird, but they're birds of prey. And he was having lunch off of one of my birds, and he was pulling the feathers out. But whenever they dive bomb in, grab the bird with their talons, hit the ground, And the first thing they do is pick their eyes out. And there's nothing you can do to help the poor bird. I mean, it's at that point, and it's the first thing they do is pick their eyes out. Oh. So they get to do this, and then they start pulling the feathers out. And then they're having lunch. And I've seen it twice. The first time was some years back, but I saw it again this spring. And I just... So I've gotten so I watch the trees now, and if I see Falcon out there lurking around, I run him off. He can go to somebody else's bird feeder and do his dirt. But I try to protect all my woodpeckers. I think they're the sweetest thing. I have three different kinds that come here, and they've gotten so used to me that when I'm out there putting the peanut butter out, they're standing not too far away hollering at me like, hurry up, get it out, over.
Yeah, I know what you mean. A lot of times when I go out and I fill a feeder up, I can hear the birds, they're hacking at me, you know, they're talking to me. And they're probably telling me, get out of my food. I don't know, they're probably saying something like that, you know. But, yeah, I love birds. I can stand there, Julie, and I can watch. Matter of fact, my wife gets mad at me. Because I'll be in the living room. We got a nice big picture window. And I got a good view of my feeders, you know. And I'll stand there. I'll just stand there and just watch the birds for a long time, you know. She'll say, what are you doing? So I'm standing there watching my birds. And, oh, she says, thinks that's awful, you know. My God, stop doing that. But I just don't do it. I mean, I just love to do that. You know, I like to watch the mannerisms. The birds have got such cool mannerisms, you know. You know, I hate the blue jays. The blue jays are the meanest birds I ever seen in my life, man. I mean, they will take food out of the other birds' mouths and everything, you know. It's just horrible how they act. And there's nobody, really, there's no other bird I've seen that can compete with them. If they want that piece of food, they're going to take it. They're going to get it no matter what. They're the biggest bullies there is the bird line. And so when we see those, we run those off. We run the blue jays off. And, you know, I love the cardinals. I love the wintering cardinals that we have here. We got cardinals that last all winter long. And I love to see them come, the male and the females. And like I said, I love to see all the arboreals show up. They're usually here for a couple of weeks before flying east. So we always look forward to that. K4QK, W9KK. K4QV, W9KK.
Well, there's nothing wrong with being a bird watcher. There's a lot of people that shoot birds, but we don't use guns. We use a camera. And there's a lot of people that's heavy into bird photography. And I really like that, too. They are fun. And I'm with you with the blue jays, seen as rattlesnakes. I had, for years and years, when I had Dan, we used to have a picnic shelter that we built just for the family reunion. And the old shelter is there now, but it's leaning. And it's looking for a place to fall down. So I'm real careful when I mow around it that I don't get too close. But anyway, underneath the rafters of this, because we built it out of, we had there were six big locust posts that we planted in the ground. And then we built the roof overhead. And we had more than 25 years of picnics there, the best times in the world. And but anyway, when I have been known to, in the old days, whenever I was mowing, I would stop and turn the mower off and just sit under there and watch to see what birds had built underneath the rafters. And there was a robin that had built her nest underneath there. And I saw this blue jay. She went up, ran the robin off, and knocked the robin's eggs out on the ground and broke all the eggs. And then it took the nest over. It made me madder than a hatter. And I came home and got the six shooter, and I did that bird in. That made me so mad. So I know how vicious they are. They're mean, and there's no shortage. The birds that are live on the west coast that are blue jays are called stellar jays. And they are a little different. Same bird, same habitat, same everything, mean as rattlesnakes. So, you know, we don't have to tolerate the bad stuff. The little birds have a hard enough time as it is. And I really like them. They're sweet little things, and they're easy to train. Those black-capped chickadees are real easy to train. I don't know if I told you about the hat story or not. Over.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you did or not, Julie. K4QV W9KK. I'm not quite sure, but yeah, them blue jays are. And, I tell you what, Julie, you know, I love the robins, I really do, I love them. But they are probably one of the worst nest builders I've ever seen in my life. You know, a lot of the nests that the robins build, they just don't last. There used to be on the shelf of my bathroom, on the outside shelf of my bathroom, there was a robin that every year they'd come back and they'd build a nest right on that shelf. And, you know, I tried to keep it together, but of course the winter, the weather, you know, it would deplete the nest. But every year they put a nest up there. And, my gosh, it would just literally fall apart. They're one of the worst nest builders I've ever seen was a doggone robin. And it's just pathetic, really, because I always thought, my God, all them little baby robins, you know, they usually have three eggs in a nest. It's almost always three eggs. And how many times I have walked outside in my front yard and seen busted eggs and everything else, you know, and little birds, not even a feather on them, dead on the ground because the robin's eggs just fell out of the nest. So, you know, they're some of the worst nest builders I've ever seen. Go ahead.
Well, that's interesting. I did not know that. I've never had the occasion to see a nest up close and personal like that, except for that one time whenever I was down to the picnic shelter. Well, I'll tell you, this bird thing goes on, and they're wonderful. I try to watch the skies now because there's a lot of egrets and things that fly overhead. They're big birds, and you can tell they're either storks or an egret or something like that. And they go in they travel in a small flock of six or eight or something like that. And they're just so pretty, and I never have a chance to see them. That long crane neck that they have, and so you can't get close enough to see what they actually are, whether they're actually a stork or a crane of some sort, but it's interesting to see this time of year whenever they're moving back and forth. So the people who don't watch birds, I don't understand them. I think they're great, and I just enjoy them so much and seeing the little differences. I had a bunch of grackles that were here for the time. The baby, the youth the ones that are this year's birds, they will have a white eye, and then it turns brown later as they mature. It's interesting to watch them. You don't get tired of it. I don't. I keep feeding mine, and it's the peanut butter they keep coming after. And I'm just tickled to death that they like it. In my youth, what I used to do, and I don't do it anymore, and I really should. I've got some pine trees around here that has a long, skinny pine cone on it. And after they fall off in the fall of the year, you can stuff peanut butter on the inside of those cones and then cover the outside of it with sunflower seeds. And I call that the retreat. And I would put that out for them sometimes. And you're talking about a frenzy. Boy, they tear that pine cone all to pieces to get all the goodies.
I mean, I never thought about that. That's something, yeah. We got a couple, not mine personally, I don't have any here, but my neighbors have got pine trees that have pine cones. And, yeah, every once in a while, you know, we're taking a walk or something, I see them on the ground. So that might be something I'll come up with and try that. And just see what happens there, you know. But, no, I always enjoy watching the birds, their mannerisms. They're different mannerisms they have, you know. They're really, you know, you get some bully birds. And then you get some ones that are a little sheepish, you know, they're a little scared. It's really interesting. You get a pack of birds, and then you get a single one-on-one bird, you know. Just watch what they do. Just watch how they operate, you know. Now, one thing I'll say about the doves, we got a lot of doves here. And, you know, oh, guys, there's at least 6 to 8 doves that always come around my feeders. Of course, they're ground feeders, you know. I mean, they're too damn big. They're not going to fit in no bird at all. So they're not going to go into a bird feeder. But they feed off the ground. Whatever the birds put on the ground from bird seed, they'll eat it. But I'll tell you what, now, them are the kindest birds I've ever seen. They get along with tall birds. They get along with big birds.
But I'll tell you one thing, they don't take no crap off another bird, though.
I'll never forget, I was watching one day, and these starlings, you know, were picking all the food from the little birds. And it came up by a dove, and it started trying to take that dove food, and that dove was all over that starling, boy, I tell you. She was pecking at him and everything else. It wasn't going to get her food. So it's fun to watch the doves. Do you have a lot of doves that way?
No. Now, if I fed seeds out, I'm sure that I would have the doves. But my brother does. He has the bird feeders, and he uses a lot of seed. And he does the suet also. And he has doves that comes in to do the ground feeding. So, and the other birds are very accommodating. They'll stand in the bird feeder and kick out the seeds and the stuff, looking for sunflower seeds, I guess. In the meantime, all that stuff falls to the ground. And so here comes the doves, and they munch all that down. So that's pretty cool. The cutest thing I have seen lately was with a pair of wrens. And they were in for the peanut butter, of course. And she was sitting on the rail. He went over where I had slopped the peanut butter on. I have a plank, just a piece of plywood, and I slop it on the plywood. And where I can see it, I prop it up on the rail so that I can see it from the back door. And so he was getting a mouthful of peanut butter, and she was on the rail waiting, and he was feeding her the peanut butter. It was the cutest thing. But people that don't do the bird watching, they don't understand this and they don't see this. Over.
Yeah. Yeah, you're exactly right. K4QV W9KK. I agree with you 100%. It's too bad because it's very interesting to see the mannerisms of those birds. I think people could learn a lot if they watched them.
it's pretty interesting.
But yeah, we got ducks here. We got quite a variety of birds. A lot of sparrows, barn sparrows. A lot of different birds, finches, and different color ones, you know, red-headed finches, and just all kinds of birds, just, you know, all kinds of varieties. Like I said, there's a few that I don't see. I don't see the bluebirds. And I'd like to see some bluebirds. I think they'd be pretty cool to look at. Go through a lot of money in a year's time feeding birds, but my neighbors, they get mad at me because I'd feed the birds, and of course the birds would poop on the cars and stuff. And the one neighbor, she used to tell me, I wish you'd stop doing that. My car's all full of bird poop. And, well, I'm sorry, lady. I said, I love to feed the birds. But they'd eat the bird food. Now, I do have problems now and then with them, pooping on the cars, but I just clean it off and then I worry about it. But some people, they just don't care about stuff like that, really. They'll just, they more or less just, they don't care about watching anything like that. They think it's actually stupid, you know. Why would you watch those stupid birds out there eating? Well, it's pretty interesting. It's a hell of a lot better to eat than watching some people eat, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you got that right. Well, that's wonderful. Oh, no, I don't begrudge whatever I spend on my peanut butter and this stuff. Now, there have been times that I'll buy sunflower seeds in 25-pound bags. And it takes about three of those for a winter. But sometimes I do some weird stuff sometimes. I just didn't this year, but I have in years past. I have a metal garbage can. It's got a metal roof on it. The lid is metal also. And I'll get 3 50-pound sacks of corn and put in that. And the wildlife corn runs about $7 for 50 pounds. And fill that up. And I do that more than once in the winter. But I have wild turkeys coming in to get that. And then it's a series of other birds that comes in to get that. And I keep, of course, run off the blue jays, of course. But the wild turkeys, I have a whole flock. I took a picture one time and had 14 in it. And in my yard, I have a grapevine arbor that is 8 feet by 48 feet. And it has 6 grapevines on it. And it's beyond the arbor that I usually do the feeding. When I do the corn, I feel sorry for the deer after the rut is over and January has happened and it's snowing on the ground or something, and they, by that time, most of the acorns and the things that they eat is already gone. So the does are all pregnant, and I know that. So I'm such of an idiot, I will feed the deer sometimes, but I didn't this past year. They ate my flowers. I had a whole bunch of pretty hydrangeas that I really loved so much. Oh, they ate them flat to the ground. And I said, that's enough of this. No more feeding the deer. So they just ate the wrong thing. They should stick to the corn. K4QV.
Would say, oh, them stupid birds, the little bird brains, and, you know, they call them all kinds of names and stuff, but I'd love to watch them. And, you know, you talk about some of the birds feeding each other, you know. It's always interesting to see the robin feeding the little baby birds. And
And then the starlings, you know, and not the starlings, but the little small rams, you know, when they're feeding the babies, they'll fly down or bomb, and then the little rams will get food in their mouth and then feed the babies. And the sparrows. That's always neat to see that. I enjoy that. Another thing that the mother robins and the papa robins, they'll watch their little birds, you know. They'll protect them. Just like the other day, there was a baby just starting to fly, you know. He was on my patio, one of my wicker chairs, right on the top of the wicker chair. And my wife called me into the living room, and she said, "Hey, look at that little robin there." And he still had some frizz hair on him, you know, he was so little. And he couldn't fly real good, you know, he was hopping around, and he'd be able to fly a little bit and have to stop and hop around again. Well, he was on the chair, and he was real quiet. He wasn't moving, you know. And my wife says to me, "Now look, his mother taught him real good. Just sit up there at the highest point he could get and just be real quiet. And his mama would find him, you know." And that's about the way it was, you know. It's really interesting to watch the different mannerisms these birds have got, Julie, you know.
Well, you know, Cliff, I think the animal kingdom and the birds are smarter than people. The people don't take care of their children the way I think they should. And I don't think we have a kid problem today. I think we have a parent problem. And I have an attitude about some things. So I think the animal kingdom, whether the birds